add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Time to hit you with the crown topic of the day. We started the show talking about the Subway Series and the pathetic display by the Yankees last night. I do want to spin it forward a little bit, BT. We've been talking about it for 2 hours here. And in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. You know, obviously, the Yankees losing again. Pathetic lineup. We know that. Tonight, to me, is as must-win a game. Like, the Red Sox are going to be dangerous. The Phillies are going to be dangerous. The Yankees cannot, whether it's the optics of it, whether it's the reality of it, they cannot get swept by the Mets again in this two-game series and overall for the four games this year. Like, that just can't happen, especially with Gerrit Cole on the mound. If they get beat by the Mets with Gerrit Cole on the mound tonight, they've got even deeper issues than I think. And I think the Yankees have major issues here. I have a feeling that the Yankees will kind of right the ship a little bit tonight. And I do think, I mean, it better be a different lineup. There better not be Jones and J.D. Davis anywhere near the top of the order, even if they're in that lineup. But I feel like the Yankees will turn around. But last night, just a pathetic display to a point where the Mets, much like the Red Sox set the mat to be able to run on the Yankees and you know, show a different way to beat them. Oh, is that the plan to beat the Yankees? The Mets are showing the plan to beat the Yankees. Throw lefties at them and don't pitch to Aaron Judge. They have to figure out a way to beat a lefty and beat a team if they pitch around Aaron Judge, especially with their ace on the mound.
I mean, listen, I'd like to see them win tonight for sure, at least play better, and they're definitely going to have a different lineup. There's no way they're rolling out that trash again. There's no chance in hell that that's going to
be out
there.
Well, what do you think he does?
I don't know, but it's not going to be that. There's
Volpe
no way.
Up,
Torres
up.
Will catch. You might see a little Cabrera. You might see Grisham. I don't know, but it's not going to be that. You know, they are they're a very flawed team right now because they're just too reliant on two players. And that's a recipe that works in certain sports. Baseball is not one of them. You know, it's really the complete antithesis of the way they used to be built. You know, it's funny. We had David Wells on the other day. Mm-hmm. We'll be at Joe Torre's golf outing tomorrow, broadcasting live. So we'll have Joe on and many other guests as well, a lot of former Yankees. And think about the way those teams were built. Not that everybody was hitting 310 or everybody was jacking 35 or 40 bombs, but yeah, everybody had a professional approach. I mean, the 7, 8, 9 hitters, they weren't layups. You had to grind a little bit just to get through them. Otherwise, they could hurt you. This team, there's so many automatic outs. It doesn't matter if they're playing the Red Sox or the Phillies or the Mets or the Reds, who abused them a couple of weeks ago at the stadium. Right now, the way the Yankees are playing, they're susceptible to losing to anybody.
Which is why I don't think they're fixable. And I understand, and we'll have this conversation, and we're going to have it until the deadline, until moves are made. I understand why you continue to say they got to go all in, and they got to fix this team, and they got to be buyers, big-time buyers at the deadline because of Soto. But if you take the emotion out of it, like as a fan, yeah, you're thinking, oh, you got to go all in. If you take the emotion out of it, and try to think of this logically and practically, they don't have that team that you're talking about.
Yeah, they do. Well, they could. They don't.
The deep lineup, 1 through 9, or even 1 through 7, for goodness sake.
They could.
With guys that can grind it out. Guys that can put the bat on the ball. I thought maybe this was going to be a version of the Yankees that they had that. I was wrong. They don't have it. Even when Stanton comes back, he's not that guy.
Let's just mess around here for a second. You ready? And when I say big, big moves, then these would constitute big moves. Batting first, Chisholm.
Okay.
Just put him there.
Yeah.
Batting second, Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Batting third, Judge.
Right.
Batting fourth, you could put McMahon to get another lefty there.
Yeah.
And again, these are the big moves I'm talking about. McMahon.
Yeah.
Five, you could put...
Well, let's say Giancarlo comes back.
I would say Stanton when he comes back. Yeah, I was going to go with Stanton there. And then, you know, obviously six, you could go say Dominguez. I read an article. Dominguez is actually a lot closer to returning.
Yeah.
No, I mean, listen, I'm only going to react to what I read. I'm not going to make it more ominous than it is. If I read a favorable report, I'm saying it. Yeah, listen, I don't really know what he is totally. I'm with you.
Here's what
he's
I'll
played
say.
Seven games, but he's better than the crap they're throwing out there now.
No, understood. Here's what I'll say to everybody who's writing about this stuff. I care about when they're here. I don't want to hear Boone say, oh, Stanton's coming or Dominguez is coming or guys say, oh, he's on the men. Here. Get here. When you're here and in the lineup, then we'll discuss you. Because I've had enough of this. Oh, Stanton, oh, he'll be back. And when he does come back, he's not here right now. And their lineup is pathetic. But yes, in this hypothetical, we're painting it out. Stanton, Dominguez, when they come back.
I'm going to flow through it fast. Chisholm, Soto, Judge, 1, 2, 3. Who did I say?
McMahon.
McMahon, 4. Stanton, 5. Dominguez, 6. Wells, 7. Torres, 8. Volpe, 9. You can't win with that lineup? So you can. And it doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to win, but I believe that you should. I believe strongly that you can. It will be the best lineup they've had, I think, this century.
They still have Glaber, who I don't love.
I understand that, but if he's hitting 7th or 8th, it's more justifiable.
Understood. They still have Austin Wells, who, while he's looking like he's starting to at least contribute, a question mark would be the least that we could say with Austin Wells. Same thing with Dominguez and Stanton. And by the way, let's just say that Stanton goes down again. Mm-hmm. Then what? And you're taking Verdugo out of this lineup, obviously, and hoping that you get the production that you were getting from him from either Stanton or Dominguez or both. But to me, yeah, all right, Jazz leading off, great. You know, I think you're going, like the caller said before about star chasing, not you, but in general, I think there's this feel that, oh, go out and get the big splash, when that's exactly what they've done. They did that with Soto, and it's not working.
Well, it was, though. So what's gone wrong? It's not Soto directly at all. It's what's around him.
Well, Soto's still here.
So they'd be worse without Soto.
Soto's still here and performing at a high level.
Exactly.
Right, but they're one of the worst teams in baseball over the last 7 weeks.
I understand that. The recent trends are irrefutable. Right, so it can't just be.
And by the way, we saw the Angels for years with the two best players in baseball with Ohtani and Trout, and how that worked.
It didn't work out well, but they never had pitching, so.
Okay, well, but do the Yankees?
Garrett Cole, Luis Gil. I mean, they got better. I already named two guys better than the Angels ever had.
Okay, well, that's why maybe the Yankees have a better record than the Angels had, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be good enough to win the division
or
win a World
Series.
It
doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Honestly, what I'm saying, what I'm proposing that the Yankees do, it guarantees nothing. All it does for me is give me a renewed sense of conviction that they can win it. Because right now, they can't.
Right. So you're saying that make those moves, and then maybe they have a team that could go out there and win a World Series. I'm simply saying I don't think there are moves to be made. Even if they did those two things with Jazz and McMahon, I still don't think the Yankees are good enough. No, look, anything
you might be right. Yeah. I mean, if you have a situation where, again, I know we can only react to what we're presented with, and the Yankees look awful. Everybody knows that. Every statistical measurement bears that out. Irrefutable, awful, White Sox level, right? And the Mets are the exact opposite since June 15th, basically at the top of the league and everything. But if you suddenly now envision, instead of the outfield slop that they've been throwing out there lately, just imagine, close your eyes, Judge, Soto, and
Dominguez.
And then, you know, get rid of Torres and put Chisholm there. And I don't know, maybe bump Torres over to third or whatever. Like, or McMahon to third. Like, there are avenues. I just don't know their appetite to blow this thing up in terms of prospects. So we've debated on whether or not it's
lineup,
fixable, right, Sal?
We screwed this lineup.
We forgot Austin Wells. Yeah.
We forgot Wells. Catcher. We forgot what? First base.
Rice.
Where'd you have Rice in there? Because we had Jazz in
Chisholm
there.
One.
We had
Actually,
Torres in there
the
as
positions
well.
Too. Hold on. Second base, right field, center field.
Third
base. I may have messed up. DH, yeah, I did mess up.
We missed first
Dominguez
baseman.
Left field. No, I have Rice. I have Rice 7th.
Oh, then you forgot Wells.
I forgot the catcher. Right. Yeah. And I have Torres 8 and Volpe 9. And I really do like Austin Wells.
But it had to be either Torres or Jazz, so it wouldn't be both. But
yep.
Yes.
Yep. Yep, that's true.
Right, to your point, do we think the team is fixable or not?
I do, you don't. Right. Now, forget about what we both think. Mm-hmm. Independent of that, do you think the Yankees land multiple big pieces? Do you think they do?
Is Cody Bellinger a big piece?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I mean, I think they'll add at least one big piece. But again, remember, this is a team that's every move that they've made has been the wrong one here. Like, Brian Cashman has just continued to make wrong, maybe not every move, literally, but wrong move after wrong move, not building a team that could sustain success, especially in the postseason, but even in the regular season. Over the last several years, this isn't just this year, last several years, they've had an issue sustaining success in the regular season. I don't want to hear the excuses. Oh, Judge got hurt. I don't care. The Braves won a World Series with Ronald Acuna going down. So enough about Judge got hurt making it all about last year. It's not about the injuries. It's about you had crappy players and you relied on them again this year. Stanton, LeMahieu, Torres, Rizzo. Need I go on?
Trevino.
It's the same thing. So he thought Soto was going to fix it. Wrong. So now I'm going to trust him to fix it again at the trade deadline? I don't. So, I mean, to answer your question, yeah, I do think the Yankees are going to feel like they have to make big moves. I'd still be shocked if they traded, certainly Dominguez and even Spencer Jones. I would be shocked if they did that.
Yep.
I think your boy Bellinger, who I know you wanted them to get in the offseason, would be a great fit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Play a little first base, play some outfield, mm-hmm. Lefty bat, whatever. He'd help their lineup.
Yep.
I think they'll be aggressive in trying to save face, but I think that that's going to be the wrong move.
We'll see.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is in Maspeth. What's up, John?
How's it going, fellas? You know, as a Yankee fan, watching this team all my life, 2017, so close. Seems like ever since then, it's been an uphill battle, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of this damn team. Clean house. Trade everybody. Fire everybody. Except for Matt Blake. Fire Boone. Fire Cashman. Fire the analytics.
What's that happening, John?
Especially whoever thought to put Jones and Davis lead off and clean up last night. Go to their damn office today. Pack your crap up. Get out.
Yep.
Everybody this team gets turns to crap. No matter it's a prospect who we call up, who starts off hot, ends up being crap. Clint Frazier, Greg Bird, Andujar, Davey Garcia. Now we're seeing Torres and Volpe turn into crap. You know what? Trade Spencer Jones. Trade Dominguez. Trade Ben Rice. You know why? They're going to turn to crap. History shows they're going to turn to crap. We go out and sign a free agent. Ellsbury, crap. Rodon, crap. We give extensions to Severino, crap and crap. We go out and trade for Sonny Gray, crap.
Montas,
Gallo, crap. Stanton, half the man he used to be.
Efros.
The Mets figuring this out. Just walk Aaron Judge, because Severino's right. We got two hitters. We could trade for a prime Tony Gwynn and put him behind Aaron Judge, and he'll end up batting 175. Because everything this team touches turns to crap.
Well, it sounds nice, John, and thank you for the call right there. We appreciate the passion. It's just not entirely accurate. Juan Soto has not turned to crap. Even Marcus Stroman has not turned to crap. The Yankees have made some solid moves and some moves that have been good for this team. But a lot of the moves have not panned out, BT. I got to sneeze.
Salud. Salud.
That was crap.
Aloof.
What crap that is. I can't even hold in my sneeze. No, it's not every move, but obviously they have not made enough of the right moves to get this team over the hump. Like, we could debate it all we want. The facts are they have not been back to a World Series. They have not been as close to getting back to a World Series since 2017. It's been downhill. And there are no signs to me that it's gotten any better over the last 3 years.
Well, the thing is, it's like the evaluation for where they are versus where they've been. Even that's a little misguided because some of these offensive statistics, even going back to last year, and the year before, like Aaron Judge has helped mask so many deficiencies
right.
Just by being all time that it almost makes you think like, well, they're really not that far away from being, amazing or a World Series team. No, they are because it's one guy who's basically carrying all the mail. Now this year it's two, which gives me a different path in my mind to go out and justify giving up some top chips in the system, get a couple of sticks, get a big flame-throwing arm in the pen to get some high-leverage outs. Otherwise, I wouldn't suggest that they should even do that. I would say sell everybody, restock
right.
The cupboards.
Right.
I just think that this team's a little unique given Soto and Judge and Gerrit Cole. No, but, Aaron Judge has hidden so many deficiencies, and really the evaluation of Brian Cashman in a lot of ways should be worse. If you really think about it, the Yankees, fourth in baseball. I'm just throwing numbers, but they're very high. Fourth in baseball, then home runs and OP, whatever the numbers might be. Okay, now take away Aaron Judge, who, by the way,
yeah.
You almost lost Because for some reason...
He didn't even offer him the most money.
Yeah, but for some reason now, Hal from Italy made sure he got that done by tacking on the extra year when he spoke to Judge directly. But Brian Cashman even almost messed up a layup. Almost even messed up a two-foot putt, like a tap-in. Aaron Judge didn't want to go anywhere. Do you think it helped on opening day a couple of years ago when Brian Cashman looked us all in the eye and said, hey, here's exactly what we offered him. He said no. Do you think that that made him happy? No. It made him spiteful, which said, now I'm getting an extra year out of Hal, which he got.
Right.
So it's not just the drafting or the player development or the free agents or the trades. It's even pissing off your all-time player.
Look, sometimes in sports, and it's not that I don't hate saying that. Like, I don't really care. I'm not. There's not a personal on anybody here. This is what we do. We talk about it. Sports. I know it's their real lives, but believe me, they'll be fine. If Brian Cashman got fired today, he'd be fine for the rest of his life, okay? It's not saying that Cashman isn't great or wasn't great or can't be good somewhere else. In sports, sometimes you get to a point where change is needed just for the sake of change. It happens in every area. Players, managers, general managers, head coaches, whatever. I felt the Yankees were at that point years ago, 2021 with Cashman. They stuck with him, stuck with Boone, and to me, it's only gotten worse. Outside of the ALCS appearance in a year where Judge was historic, and they didn't show well in that ALCS anyway, getting swept by the Astros, the
impotent
Yankees, they overachieved. They weren't that good.
Yep.
And then missing the postseason last year. And now this year where this is not a great team going through a rough stretch. This is a team that has been bad for almost 2 months. It's deeper than that. Can it be fixed at the deadline? I don't think so. You do. We're going to find out what they do and if it can be fixed. That's the beauty of this. We're going to find out one way or another.
We're going to have a scorecard here. I think they're going to take massive swings, plural. And, you know, in a funny way, that's why I still on some, not the lineup last night, which is obviously collaborative, but I still find myself defending Boone more than most because you referenced the 99-win season a couple of the years ago when Judge was all-time. They had no business winning 93, 94.
They were bad the second half of the year.
Who was the manager, though? Like, Aaron Boone somehow coerced. Now, I know a lot of it was driven by Judge. Right. But 99 wins out of that team?
Right.
That was historically impotent offensively against the Guardians and the Astros? That team was going nowhere. We all knew it. Well, I'm not saying we weren't along for the ride, hoping for the best. That there wasn't an honest, objective Yankee fan back then that thought that the Yankees were going to win the World Series. You didn't feel it. And when one thing about the Yankees, when you have that team, you know it. And when you don't, conversely, you know it. They don't have that team. Doesn't mean they can't get that team. That's what I'm saying this season.
And the one thing is, if you do decide to go all in and you miss, it's going to be a disaster for years to come.
It's the risk you run when the general manager puts you in this position.
Playing with fire.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hitting at 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's the Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets. See the Bronx Bombers against Toronto at Yankee Stadium on Saturday, August 3rd, right now. Be calling number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. So from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And The Fan. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. A couple things I want to get to before we say goodbye, so we'll do that over the course of the next hour and a half, BT.
Real quick. I was just in the middle of, since the station doesn't seem compelled to do this, I was just sending us out a little IG congratulations for our one-year anniversary. You would have thought that they would have got the hint, you know, when you said an hour ago that your mom reached into her own pocket to send the subs to recognize the one-year anniversary that, oh, you know, somebody was heard down the hall. Oh, man, it is their first anniversary. We know that they're not Boomer and Geo or Evan and Tiki in the afternoon, but let's go get them a little cake. At least let's put a little something on IG. Nothing. Crickets.
No, I did see a tweet, though.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. A minute ago. They sent out a tweet
Here, so I didn't check Twitter.
Yeah, great. That's what we want. That's what we want, a tweet.
What did it say?
No, just say congratulations to Sal and BT or BT and Sal celebrate their first year, whatever.
Sounds very hollow to me.
Yeah, after the fact. I mean, come on now. I mean, Hoff, did you tweet that?
No, I didn't. But I think they just were shocked that you guys are still on the air. They, even up to this moment, they're like, ah, we sure it's going to last?
Right, maybe not.
Yeah.
Right, speaking of which, I'm shocked that this guy's still a head coach. Robert Saleh. Here's a quote from Saleh today at Jets camp. And we get plenty of more football, you know, coming your way. Obviously, we'll do a lot of that in the coming weeks. But here's Saleh's quote. He's an unbelievable teammate. His wealth of knowledge and his understanding of football makes him pretty much another coach on the football field. When he speaks, our guys listen. Talking about, of course, Aaron Rodgers. That's the head coach.
Yeah.
How pathetic is that?
Well, at least they have one coach.
Yeah, yeah, right. The quarterback.
When coach Rodgers.
When he speaks, our guys listen. I mean, come on, Robert. It's embarrassing, bro. That's embarrassing.
Now like I get, kiss his behind his
yeah, I get needing the star player and needing to be on the same page as the star player. This is another level. It's like Sal's bowing down to Aaron Rodgers.
He has been since day one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what's pathetic about that structure. I don't care how good he is or how established he is. You're the head coach. You're the man. You're supposed to be the guy in charge. Again, I'm not saying you can't listen to him or talk to him or, you know, do things that would, you know, placate him or help him along. You don't, like, this is just like, Saleh's along for the ride, and Rodgers is running the show. And it's not like that. It is that. That's exactly what's happening. That is a recipe for disaster. Mark my words on that.
This Jets season's going to be really interesting.
Buckle up. Oh, it's going
to
be fun.
I think it's going to be amazing. I do, but it's at very least, it's going to be interesting.
Let's get back to the calls. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Chris is in Belleville, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, guys? Hey, a couple things on this, not to beat that dead horse with this Yankees lineup, but first, Sal, you know, the last thing me and my wife say before we go to bed is, Alexa, play ocean sound.
Hmm.
It's a good free white noise through Alexa if you have it in the bedroom.
Yeah, we don't have Alexa, but yes, I get the point.
I don't trust Alexa.
Yeah,
I don't.
Something about it.
No, you know, I'm recording everything. Who says it more, you or your wife?
She'll say it. Okay. She'll say it.
So you if you're an Alexa family, like, is that not Apple? Right? That's not Apple.
No, it's separate.
No, it's Amazon. Right. It's Amazon, I think.
Right. So yeah, if I have Apple and then I just would do the same thing with Siri, I guess. I'm not familiar.
We have both, actually.
Oh, okay.
So like my phones are Apple, but the Amazon.
So you just bought like an Alexa thing?
Is that we have one in the kitchen. We have one in the workout room. Like nothing crazy. Like little smaller
and
just, ones.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. If I could say a couple things about this horrible lineup. The first thing is, how about right now? Why don't they try to bat Judge second and Soto third behind him? At least make them pitch the Judge at this point. I know they're the only two guys in the lineup, but maybe switch things up.
Yeah, then they'll pitch around Soto.
Yeah, but I'd rather see what Judge can do with somebody behind him that, yeah, they got to pitch to him too, but I think they're going to be more afraid than Soto.
And by the way, if you're, and thanks for the call, Chris. Thanks, by the way, if you are going to do that, the time to do it is against a lefty.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Because you'd rather them have to pitch to Judge with Soto behind you with a lefty. And then if you say, well, then they go around Soto. Yeah, but maybe lefty on lefty.
Mm-hmm.
They figure they could go after Soto a little bit.
That's true.
So if you're going to do it, what's the harm? I just don't understand what the harm would be. What, because those guys are creatures of habit? You can't mess with it? Same thing with Volpe. Like, you couldn't move Volpe to leadoff last night? That's going to kill you? You can't go back to that if there's a righty on the mound, move him down? What is he? He's a ball player.
Joe,
a robot.
Joe Torre batted A-Rod, what was that, eighth or ninth against the Tigers in the playoffs that year? You can't put these guys in more conventional slots, like put Judge throw Soto 3 and Judge 4?
Look, I don't get it, especially when the lineup is as thin. The Yankees right now should be trying everything, and they have not. So I wouldn't be opposed to that, especially against the lefty. Mike, it wouldn't solve their issues, but at least try it. Mike is calling from West Caldwell. What's up, Mike?
I can't say on the radio the last thing my wife and I say to each other before we go to bed. But I'd love to tell you.
I have an idea.
I know the low-hanging fruit is Cashman, and I've never been a Cashman hater, and you do this job as long as he's been doing, they're not all going to be hit. So, but I think if they miss the playoffs or have an early out. I think you got to nuke this thing from top to bottom. Scouts, player development, pitching, coaches, the whole. You got to get modern. I think you need like a modern look on how to do lineups. And a lot of Yankee fans aren't going to like it because the thing people always say is New York's not going to stand for a rebuild. But you feel like you've been rebuilding for a very long time because you get the have they gone to any playoff games that you actually or series that you thought they were going to do well in? They get in there and you don't ever think anything's going to happen. I'm sorry. I think that things got to get nuked one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mike, and thank you for the call. If it gets to that point, let's say the Yankees go all in and they fail, it's going to cost them dearly moving forward because that would mean going all in, potentially trading Spencer Jones and or Jason Dominguez. If they do that, they better win a World Series. That's the trade-off. Like, for me, I'm not opposed to trading the prospects. I would have traded Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns, so I would have already burnt that bullet on pairing Corbin Burns with Garrett Cole to start the year. This was before Cole obviously
got
hurt.
You definitely said that. I got you back on that.
I
said no.
So it's not me. It's not me being opposed to trading the prospects.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I thought the Yankees could win the World Series. I've now watched them play for a few months here, and I don't believe that they're World Series caliber, so I'm not going to risk the future with this particular move. If it were a move that I thought could put them over the top, you know, the way I did a couple years ago, maybe with Luis Castillo, sure, trade Volpe then, or trade Spencer Jones now, or Dominguez, or whatever. Because who knows? Now, I think if you do that, it's borderline reckless, and it's it is very risky. I respect it going all in, but if you miss and fall short of a World Series, there's a chance, as you said before, BT, you could be without Dominguez and or Spencer Jones and Juan Soto.
If he walks out the door. All right, so I know the easy answer is right now pretty much everybody. So let's spare the punchline and let's think about this. A recalibrated, to an extent, Yankees team. Who can't they beat? Is discernibly better than the Yankees? Top to bottom.
I mean, I can't.
Because if you say that they can't win and they're not worthy of a rebuild, which I get, I don't agree, but I do understand why you would say that, then identify the teams that you just don't think that they can hang with.
But then that's a different argument. I mean, how I don't think that there's a team alive that can't win on any given night.
But you know what I mean. Like the White Sox aren't winning a best of seven against the Phillies in the World Series
Diamondbacks. But the Diamondbacks won, 84 games a year ago and went to the World Series?
I got you on that.
Would anybody say the Diamondbacks would beat the Phillies? No.
So then why can't it work the other way? If you're a team.
It could.
Oh, okay, it could. So if it could work the other way, like the Diamondbacks overachieved, then right now the Yankees are woefully underachieving. If it could work, then why not invest in that reinvestment?
Right. Understood. I don't think that this team is worth reinvesting in. You're right. It could work out like that. And that's maybe what they're thinking. Hey, we're going to make the postseason. And once we get in, nothing that we do in June or July matters. So why not just go for it? I just don't believe that they will. John is in Corona. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, John.
Just a couple points. Like BT, what you just said, if they're worth reinvesting into. You can ask that about any team in baseball right now. It's such like a level playing field. There's no real team out there. You're talking about adding 2-3 major pieces for the Yankees to make them a true contender. But you add 2-3 pieces. You could say the same thing about the Mets.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But you got to make sure that you beat the Mets beat the other teams who might be in line to get the players that the Yankees have to get.
Well, think about this, too. If you just asked me the question, who can't the Yankees beat? And the answer is nobody. Well, they can beat anybody. Who can't the Mets beat?
Exactly. And I think I've been hearing this for months now, right? Like, I listen to you guys all the time. I love you guys. And it's throughout the whole station, Yankee fans calling in, Yankee fan hosts, just eviscerating the Mets in April and May. Like, literally eviscerating Nimmo, eviscerating Lindor. And where's the setback with Volpe? Volpe is a scrub, slap hitting. He can't get on base, low 300 hitter. Mm. 2 weeks ago, BT, you couldn't even say that Lindor's better than him. And he's so much better than him.
Well, no, there's no question, John. The difference, though, and I don't know, like, eviscerating Lindor makes it seem like we were just, like, it was a baseless criticism.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's a strong word, but there was some evisceration, I guess, in the sporting sense. So I'm
they
okay
earned
with it.
They were 11 games under 500. Nobody was hitting.
And he earned it. He was hitting 094 with an OPS in the 500. So, listen, of course, like, if you put Lindor in the middle of the Yankee diamond right now, well, you got no problem. There's your leadoff hitter. Then you have Soto. Then you have Judge. Then you have a totally different situation. But it's not apples to apples because Lindor's 31. Volpe's a kid. Volpe's making peanuts. Lindor's making big money. It's year number four in New York. So it is a little different. But no, nobody's saying that Lindor hasn't been amazing for a while. He has been.
Right. And look, I would say the same thing that I'm saying about the Yankees, although it's different because there are different expectations. I'll say the same thing about the Mets. Like, to your question before, BT, who can't the Yankees beat? And I could say, well, who can't the Mets beat? Technically, they could beat anybody. Any given series, you never know what could happen. But I also don't believe in the Mets. So I'm not saying, oh, go all in and this could be the year. Could it? It could. I mean, if they get in the playoffs, anything could happen. They could be as good as Atlanta. Could they beat Philadelphia in a short series? Why not?
I can't prove this. I would almost guarantee if everything was flipped, records, hot start, stumble, that this Yankees team was the Mets. Again, I can't prove this, but right. I strongly believe that if you had Soto and Judge,
you'd say go for it.
You'd say go 100%. For it. And it would make more, I don't want to say it would make more sense to you, but
I get it.
I know you understand it.
I get it.
I think you would embrace it more.
I get it, but it doesn't mean that it's the right thing.
But it doesn't mean it's the wrong thing.
Correct. But the way that they've played, and remember, I said this weeks ago, if they continue to play like this, then I would consider selling.
Yeah.
And they have continued to play like
this. You did say it.
So there are two options. Go all in, risk the future further to go all in and trade some of those guys for a team that might or might not succeed. Or get what you can get back now for Juan Soto and start the rebuild now.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get why they can't do it.
The thing is, though, the guys they would get wouldn't be rentals. So while it could crush the future because you could be without Jones and Dominguez and Soto could leave. Right. If they gave, and I don't want to give up Dominguez. I'm okay with Jones at this point. But if you gave them up and you got back Chisholm and McMahon, you've got controllability, blah, 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 boring baseball conversation. But they would be on the team next year no matter what.
Joe is in Wappingers Falls. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys, listen, good afternoon. I wanted to say two things. First one, I'm glad the Yankees are in the free fall because it's going to make it easier for the Mets to sign Soto. Soto's not going to want to play for the Yankees if they don't have a complete team. And then second of all, can either one of you guys recommend where I can find a good broom? Because the Mets are going to sweep the Yankees.
Joe.
That was so witty. Ooh, boy, that was top level. That was brilliant. I mean, that's why we're late to the break to take that call. Where can you find the broom?
I'm thinking the same thing myself, Joe. I'm thinking the same thing myself, Joe. I got to tell you, I know Joe Torre and Tino Martinez. They have nothing. And Lee Mazzilli, when he was wearing his I know they have nothing to do with this iteration of the Yankees. Mm. However, it would bring me great joy to show up tomorrow at the, where is it, Safe Hollow?
Sleepy Hollow.
At the Sleepy Hollow.
Safe Hollow.
At the
Sleepy. Yeah, you go, at this rate, you go to Safe Hollow. I don't want to be near you if the Mets win four in a row.
It will bring me great joy to show up there at Sleepy Hollow Golf Club for Joe Torre with a broom in hand.
Would you really do that?
Yo,
would you really?
Baby.
Would you?
Yo, I got extra brooms at the house. I don't have any Lexus. We got some brooms. I know that.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
All lined up by Kettens. And it's still going high in the air. Deep to center field. Way back. It may go. Long. A grand slam. A grand slam. Mike Piazza.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT, it's out back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call.
Interesting conversation we just had with the architect.
Always a fun conversation. Haven't talked to him, I feel like, in almost a year, probably, before you put us together.
Come on.
No.
Just make sure Stu Gotz isn't coloring outside the lines too much. Had to have that conversation.
All good here. BT out. I thought he was coming in to say happy anniversary.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Didn't even know. On the way out. True story. We were talking about everything but the anniversary. Right? He just came in to say hi. We probably hit five or six different things, right? Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. He was in the air the whole break. And as he's walking, I said, oh, yeah, by the way, today was the anniversary of Francesa's last show. I mean, they're celebrating that.
Yeah. I didn't realize it.
By the way, this.
We got to put that sign back up there.
I don't know where the sign is.
No, I know, but we got to, like you said, we got to get one. And
I'm all for it. Yeah. It's written on paper.
Well, I wrote that on paper like 3 years ago. I put that paper up there 3 years ago.
Yeah, and it's still there, and it should be. I don't know who took it down. I'm not going to get into that because it probably happened before I did. Well, I came to WFA, and I think it did. But this is the Mike Francesa studio, and there needs to be a sign that says it's the Mike Francesa studio.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019.
Remember, I told you. BT and Sal studio.
Maybe. Yeah, I told you a couple of things.
Still got studio.
A couple of things. Oh, yeah, pretty soon. A couple of things I wanted to get to. Hey, remember when the Mets pulled Christian Scott from a game that he was performing well in because he had 75, 77 pitches, whatever it was?
That was the Pirates, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah,
they pulled him because what? They wanted a
pitch count.
Yeah, and they wanted to prevent injury and keep him healthy. Well, guess what? Yesterday, the Mets placed Christian Scott on the 15-day IL with a UCL, right UCL strain.
Yep.
So, I guess it didn't work, did it? And now, it comes out that Scott had this issue a year ago, that there were some issues with his elbow.
Yeah.
Point is, and this is not the Mets' fault, and it's not Scott's fault, it happens. The point is, if you're in a game, in a sport that you're competing in to try to win the game and eventually get a playoff spot, you leave the pitcher in the game until you feel comfortable enough to whether he doesn't have it anymore or you're going to win the game. Because you can't prevent injuries. There are no ways to do it. Nothing is guaranteed. You can a six-man rotation, extra rest, limited pitch count, limited up-downs, limited dry humping, limited innings. It doesn't matter. So Scott hurt, but yet the Mets did all they could to protect him, and he still got hurt again.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The only thing that I can say, and I don't disagree, but just to give you a different lane to think about, I mean, I don't know. Did he go to the Mets before that start and say, hey, guys, I'm having a little tough time getting loose here.
But then why would they even pitch him?
Well, that's I was going to go there. Yeah. But then maybe they checked him out and they said, okay, he is structurally fine. I don't mean an MRI, just I mean an examination, you know, like an orthopedic, however they do it. And they determined that it was not a hasty decision or a reckless decision to let him go. But they modified the pitch count just to be safe because that's what their data says. 75 or more is dangerous. I don't know, but you're probably right. Just let him eat, air it out. I mean, you're going to get hurt or you're not.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the bottom line at this stage. I'm with you, I think.
Sucks.
I think I'm with you, finally.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's infuriating. They do all they can to try to prevent this exact thing from happening, and yet it happens. Each case is different. Some guys are going to have rubber arms, some guys aren't, but there's nothing you can do to prevent it. Meaning when he gets to the big leagues, and if you prioritize winning ball games, do that. Don't halfway it as the Mets did, only to have the result that you were trying to avoid in the first place. Bobby is in Belmore. What's up, Bobby? What's up, Bobby?
Hey, how are you? Sorry about that. Listen, number before I get to the prospects, I just want to talk about, you know, the Yankees are talking about everything looks scared of them. Well, maybe they should worry about themselves. The 70-9 hitters have sucked for over the last month. You have three of the worst hitters in the league, and DJ, Torres, and DJ, Torres.
Grisham.
And Verdugo.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, those three worst. And, you know, you're 0-3 against the Mets. But let me get to the prospects. I was agree with Sal. I told you guys I wanted Corbin Burns. You know, now they're not going to get much for Spencer Jones. You know why? He's hitting I checked the stats a couple of days ago. He's hitting .238, struck out 127 times, 75 games. That's going to get you much back in return. Okay, and I understand Corbin Burns is a rental, but they said they were going for it all with Soto, right? And apparently they went halfway. And even if Spencer Jones is back next year, he might not even have a position if Soto signs. He won't with Dominguez, Soto, and Judge in the outfield. So, and let me get to Dominguez also before I get your response. Are you concerned, both of you, that this guy at 21 years old had two serious major injuries? I mean, you know, maybe he doesn't have the body. He's like the case of Stantonitis already. I mean, this guy, you know, such a young age, has already missed big parts of two seasons. So those are the Yankee 2's prospects, and I don't feel good about it, and I don't think they're going to get a much for either one because Dominguez, not everyone is like Cashman. You're getting guys with injury histories. You know what I'm saying? Like Rodan, the list goes on and on. You know,
Well, sorry, Bobby, I cut you off there. I was holding the my hand above the thing, and I touched it by accident. Sorry about that, but we do appreciate you taking the time to call. I wouldn't look at Dominguez yet, BT, as somebody who's injury-prone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been a couple of freak things here.
Yep.
I mean, but he hasn't done anything in the big leagues. He's played 7 games.
Yeah.
Now, I'm also not giving up on the idea, which is why it's easier maybe to fathom trading Spencer Jones, because you could have Dominguez and Soto and Judge in the outfield, and you're not going to, where's Jones going anyway? So I could understand that.
First base.
I'm not giving up on Dominguez if I'm the Yanks, based on even just a small sample size of what I've
seen. Yeah, I mean, the injuries are unfortunate, but I don't think necessarily, you know, a physical foreshadow of him breaking down. I don't know. Maybe it is the early stages, and we look back and we say, man, we should have known right away with this young kid. First the elbow, then, you know, the intercostal strain, the oblique, which is problematic for young and old hitters. It's become an epidemic. I don't know what. It's got to be overuse, because we also didn't have as much access back then. But did you ever hear of Mike Schmidt or George Brett or Wade Boggs or Don Mattingly or Rod Carew or Cal Ripken or any of these guys? I never heard the term oblique once in the 80s. Did you?
No, I mean, I don't remember it. I'm sure it was a thing at some point along the way, but it started becoming more, to me, of a thing in the last, what, 20 years, you'd say?
I would say a little inside of 20, but I also think it's because they, you know, back in the day, they would kind of lay dormant, relatively dormant, during the offseason, let their bodies regenerate, and then they would ease into it during spring training. Now these guys come in, and they've
been working out 5 days, 6 days a week.
Tight, yeah, ready to go. Right. Look at a jack, everything right away. There's no natural transition to learning how to play. Not learning how to play, yeah, but learning how to prepare for the season. It's just, it is definitely a more recent phenomenon. But I don't think that that's necessarily going to portend some, you know, scattered, like the inability of Dominguez to stay healthy. That would surprise me, but you never know. I mean, it's not off to a good start, let's be honest.
BT and Sal on the fan. More your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019 on the fan. Brooms, I know that.
When this happened, you talked about it on the fan.
Full windup by Kevins. And it's still on him high in the air. Deep to center field. Way back. It may go.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call.
Interesting conversation we just had with the architect.
Always a fun conversation. Haven't talked to him, I feel like, in almost a year, probably, before you put us together.
Come on.
No.
Let's make sure Stu Gotz isn't coloring outside the lines too much. Had to have that conversation.
All good here. BT out. I thought he was coming in to say happy anniversary.
That's what I thought. Yeah. He didn't even know. On the way out. On the way. True story. We were talking about everything but the anniversary. Right? He just came in to say hi. We probably hit 5 or 6 different things, right? Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. He was in the air the whole break. And as he's walking, I said, oh, yeah, by the way, today was the anniversary of Frances's last show. I mean, they're celebrating that.
Yeah. I didn't realize it.
By the way,
we got to put that sign back up there.
I don't know where the sign is.
No, I know, but we got to, like you said, we got to get one. And
I'm all for it. Yeah. It's written on paper.
I wrote that on paper like 3 years ago. I put that paper up there 3 years ago.
Yeah, and it's still there, it should be. I don't know who took it down. I'm not going to get into that because probably happened before I came to WFA, and I think it did. But this is the Mike Francesa studio, and there needs to be a sign that says it's the Mike Francesa studio.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Remember, I told you. BT and Sal studio.
Maybe. Yeah, I told you a couple of things.
Still got studio.
A couple of things. Pretty soon. A couple of things I wanted to get to. Hey, remember when the Mets pulled Christian Scott from a game that he was performing well in because he had 75, 77 pitches, whatever it was?
That was the Pirates, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah,
they pulled him because what? They wanted a
pitch count.
Yeah, and they wanted to prevent injury and keep him healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Yesterday, the Mets placed Christian Scott on the 15-day IL with a right UCL strain.
Yep.
So, I guess it didn't work, did it? And now, it comes out that Scott had this issue a year ago, that there were some issues with his elbow.
Yeah.
Point is, and this is not the Mets' fault, and it's not Scott's fault, it happens. The point is, if you're in a game in a sport that you're competing in to try to win the game and eventually get a playoff spot, you leave the pitcher in the game until you feel comfortable enough to whether he doesn't have it anymore or you're going to win the game. Because you can't prevent injuries. There are no ways to do it. Nothing is guaranteed. You can a six-man rotation, extra rest, limited pitch count, limited up-downs, limited dry humping, limited innings. It doesn't matter. So Scott hurt,
yep.
But yet the Mets did all they could to protect him, and he still got hurt again.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The only thing that I can say, and I don't disagree, but just to give you a different lane to think about, I mean, I don't know. Did he go to the Mets before that start and say, hey, guys, I'm having a little tough time getting loose here.
But then why would they even pitch him?
Well, that's I was going to go there. Yeah. But then maybe they checked him out and they said, okay, he is structurally fine. I don't mean an MRI. Just I mean right. An examination, you know, like an orthopedic. However they do it. And they determined that it was not a hasty decision or a reckless decision to let him go. But they modified the pitch count just to be safe because that's what their data says. 75 or more is dangerous. I don't know. But you're probably right. Just let him eat, air it out. I mean, you're going to get hurt or you're not.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the bottom line at this stage. I'm with you, I think.
Sucks.
I think I'm with you, finally.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's infuriating. They do all they can to try to prevent this exact thing from happening, and yet it happens. Each case is different. Some guys are going to have rubber arms, some guys aren't, but there's nothing you can do to prevent it. Meaning when he gets to the big leagues, and if you prioritize winning ball games, do that. Don't halfway it as the Mets did, only to have the result that you were trying to avoid in the first place. Bobby is in Belmore. What's up, Bobby? What's up, Bobby?
Hey, how are you? Sorry about that. Before I get to the prospects, I just want to talk about, you know, the Yankees are talking about everyone looks scared of them. Well, maybe they should worry about themselves. The 79 hitters have sucked for over the last month. You have three of the worst hitters in the league, and DJ Torres and DJ Torres.
Grisham. Grisham.
Verdugo. Yeah, okay. Those three worst. And you know you're 0-3 against the Mets. But let me get to the prospects. I was agree with Sal. I told you guys I wanted Corbin Burns. You know, now they're not going to get much for Spencer Jones. You know why? He's hitting I checked a stat a couple of days ago. He's hitting 238, struck out 127 times, 75 games. That's going to get you much back in return. Okay, and I understand Corbin Burns is a rental, but they said they were going for it all with Soto, right? And apparently they went halfway. And even if Spencer Jones is back next year, he might not even have a position if Soto signs. He won't with Dominguez, Soto, and Judge in the outfield. So, and let me get to Dominguez also before I get your response. Are you concerned, both of you, that this guy at 21 years old had two serious major injuries? I mean, you know, maybe he doesn't have the body. He's like a case of Stantonitis already. I mean, this guy, you know, such a young age, has already missed big parts of two seasons. So those are the Yankee two's prospects, and I don't feel good about it. And I don't think they're going to get a much easier one because Dominguez, and everyone is like Cashman, you're getting guys with injury histories. You know what I'm saying? Like Rodan, the list goes on and on. You know.
Well, sorry, Bobby, I cut you off there. I was holding my hand above the thing, and I touched it by accident. Sorry about that, but we do appreciate you taking the time to call. I wouldn't look at Dominguez yet, BT, as somebody who's injury-prone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been a couple of freak things here.
Yep.
I mean, but he hasn't done anything in the big leagues. He's played 7 games.
Yeah.
Now, I'm also not giving up on the idea, which is why it's easier maybe to fathom trading Spencer Jones, because you could have Dominguez and Soto and Judge in the outfield, and you're not going to, where's Jones going anyway? So I could understand that
first
aspect.
Base.
I'm not giving up on Dominguez if I'm the Yanks, based on even just a small sample size of what I've
seen.
Yeah,
I mean, the injuries are unfortunate, but I don't think necessarily, you know, a physical foreshadow of him breaking down. I don't know. Maybe it is the early stages, and we look back and we say, man, we should have known right away with this young kid. First the elbow, then, you know, the intercostal strain, the oblique, which is problematic for young and old hitters. It's become an epidemic. I don't know what. It's got to be overuse, because we also didn't have as much access back then. But did you ever hear of Mike Schmidt or George Brett or Wade Boggs or Don Mattingly or Rod Carew or Cal Ripken or any of these guys? I never heard the term oblique once in the 80s. Did you?
No, I mean, I don't remember it. I'm sure it was a thing at some point along the way, but it started becoming more to me of a thing in the last, what, 20 years, you'd say?
I would say a little inside of 20, but I also think it's because they, you know, back in the day, they would kind of lay dormant, relatively dormant, during the offseason, let their bodies regenerate, and then they would ease into it during spring training. Now these guys come in and they've
been working out 5 days, 6 days a week.
Tight, yeah, ready to go, looking to jack everything right away. There's no natural transition to learning how to play. Not learning how to play, but learning how to prepare for the season. It's just, it is definitely a more recent phenomenon. But I don't think that that's necessarily going to portend some, you know, scattered, like the inability of Dominguez to stay healthy. That would surprise me, but you never know. I mean, it's not off to a good start, let's be honest.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls on the other side, 888-808-1019 on the Fan.